This winter, there's no place like Wicked, the award-winning West End musical. Discover the incredible untold story of the Witches of Oz and how one came to be called good and the other wicked. Wicked at London's Apollo Victoria Theatre. Extra shows added for Christmas.
This episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/groundup. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/groundup. Again, that's audibletrial.com/groundup for your free audiobook. And now back to our show.
Ground Up Radio. Get built from the ground up.
I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world. And that's our job, is to spark somebody else watching us. We might not be the ones, but let's not be selfish. And because we're not going to change the world, let's not talk about how we should change it. I don't know how to change it, but I know if I keep talking about how dirty it is out here, somebody's going to clean it up.
Yo, 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 what's going on, Internet? It's your boy, Bobby Flawless, my man, Q45, Smear Campaign, yep. Celebrity Underrated Collabo, The Convo yes, Show, sir. All in one. Yes, what's going on with y'all?
What's going on, everybody listening on YouTube, everybody listening on Ground Up Radio, groundupradio.com, everybody yes, listening on, you know what I'm saying, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox, Audio Boom, you know what I mean? We here. You know what I'm saying? We doubling up on y'all, so, you know what I mean? It's the combo, you know what I'm saying? Collaboration between Smear Campaign Podcast and the Celebrity Underrated Podcast, you know what I mean? I am 345, man. You already know, you know what I mean? My man Bobby Flawless, what's good, man?
What's going on, man? Special day today, man. You know, it's a sad day.
Man, sad day.
You know,
day.
Also indeed, need to man. Be celebrated, though, you know, so.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You don't know, we're recording this on the death anniversary of Tupac Amaru Shakur. You know, passed away. 1996 was the year on this date, September 12th. Passed away from gunshot wounds that he suffered in a drive-by shooting that has been spoken on for years, has spawned many documentaries, biopics, books, and so much more in the aftermath of his passing. We just want to, you know, we want to reflect and also just, you know, speak our peace, man. Man, Pop, you know. So when you say the word, when we say the name Tupac, it's just so much weight held in that word and excuse me, not that word, but that name. And just so much legacy, iconic, part of not just the hip-hop culture, but just, you know, in history, period. You know what I mean?
Right.
Shoot, 25 years old. You know, on the day of his death. You know, there's so much to talk about. I mean, where do we start? I mean,
you know, we talk just about today. So he got shot on the 12th, but died on September 13th.
No. He passed on the 12th. He passed on the 12th.
Oh, okay. No, you know, that theory, Friday the 13th or something, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, I, if we do the, I don't know. I think maybe in the year 1996, it might have been a Friday the 13th, but I don't think that was part of it. I think he was actually shot on like September 6th.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. September 6th, but died 7 days later. Yeah. On Google right here, it says the 13th.
Is it the 13th?
Yeah.
Oh, hell, we a day early, man. Apologize, man. Don't y'all go in on me. On the
we on it, though. Man. Yeah. Date of death, September 13, 1999. And it was a Friday. I think it was a Friday the 13th. Explains all the conspiracy theories, you know, 25, the 7-day theory, the Machiavelli, the Dawn album, which was a classic. You know, the 7, they died at 4:03. Age 25, 2 plus 5, 7. You know, Tupac's alive forever, man. You know, got people still saying he's young, man.
People that were close to him also mentioned that 7 was one of his favorite numbers, you know, and which adds on to the theory of, you know, just being, you know, a plot for him to fake his death, which to this day, you know, people still speak on. You can probably YouTube several conspiracy theories. YouTube alleged conspirators who were part of his, you know, supposedly part of his demise. You know, and you just got so much, you know, even in the, and, you know, here it is, 20 some odd years later, what is it, 22 years later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have so much still, you know, coming to light. You know, just not even just, you know, not just surrounding his death, but still stuff coming out about, you know, the first time he got shot out in Quad City Studios out in New York. You know, you have people still speaking on that who, you know, it's public record that Jimmy Hinchman, you know, hopped out to arranging for his shooting to happen. Well, actually, you know, somebody came forward admitting to be one of the shooters.
Mm.
And, you know, almost said Gregory Isaac. That's not him. Gregory Isaac is a reggae icon. So, pardon me, I almost messed that up. But the brother that came out forward and said that the individual that came. No, I'm talking about the New York shooting. No, his last name was Isaac. Hold on. I always got to do my Googles to make sure I'm correct. Let's see.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know either, man. It was another cat that got shot too in that.
It was his road manager.
Yeah, his road manager.
Yeah. Excuse me, the dude's name was Dexter Isaac, who said that Jimmy Hinchman gave him, you know, offered some money and all the jewelry he could take from the actual, you know, shooting. And the idea was for him to take his jewelry, not as much as for him to be shot, you know what I mean? You know, people that's not, you know, aware that if you look at the Tupac movie, that's the scene that Maino played the shooter. And, you know, shot Tupac, because Tupac pulled the gun out.
A lot of mixed views on the movie. I thought the movie was great, you know?
I have yet to see the movie in its full capacity. I have yet to see that. So I can't really comment it, but I've just seen I've seen negative feedback. I've heard, you know, people say that the actual the USA movie, you know, the series was better, which is really was done more from the police side, the police aspect as far as the investigation, which I've seen that, and you know, I think that it was shot well.
The police telling their side, it's just, I don't know, man. When they tell stuff to me, it's just like, don't want to believe it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it just feels so much speculation and mystery. I mean, you know, people that know, you know, won't say, you know what I'm saying? And people who come forward. I've even seen that, I think it was Haitian Jack that said that TPD copped out to that confession. You know, said that Greg Cady made the confession.
Right.
You know, I was just looking at a, you know, shout out to Gully TV. They have the, you know, the documentary with Haitian Jack, and he spoke on, you know, a lot of stuff.
But he got the movie coming out with Benny Boone.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so Benny Boone is gonna shoot that movie.
Yeah,
that's interesting because people was like really
shooting this movie.
Yeah. Now, you seen the Tupac biopic. So in that was there was a kid I seen snippets of it. So was the character Nigel supposed to be
Haitian Jack? Yeah.
Okay. Now I remember when Tupac did that interview, and I remember vividly, I remember that Vibe magazine interview he did with Kevin Powell. You know what I'm saying? The interview he did that caused a lot of controversy. You know, they did the interview, and then the next issue was everybody making a rebuttal. But I remember in the interview he had mentioned the name Nigel. Now I don't know if that's an actual person, or was it that was, you know, he was saying that name referencing the patient.
In that interview, you said in that interview he mentioned the name, that name.
He mentioned the name Nigel. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
now,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the character in the movie, which was Haitian Jack. And you know what's crazy though, man, like, go ahead, bro.
No, that was played by my man from they used to play on that what was that show that was on TV, that comedy Scrubs. I can't think of my man's name. But he played that part.
Oh, okay.
I was I was kinda excited to see him, you know, working.
The real script, John Singleton had it, right?
Yeah.
Was the Phoenix Shakur part of that, or was she against that suit? Because I know she was against
that. I'm not sure. I mean, I know that before her passing, rest in peace to her as well. Mm-hmm. I believe that they were in the workings, and I want to say that John Singleton shooting it because, you know, he actually knew Pop. And, you know, he had worked with him. And I believe they had a falling out at some point.
Yeah. I don't know if it was over some of the scenes, some of the stuff he put in there, because I know Daz Dillinger has said John Singleton wanted a rape scene in there and all that. And all this.
Wanted a rape scene. Wanted, you know, I heard some crazy stuff about Pop talking to a severed head or something like that. You know, I mean, you hear a lot of crazy stuff, man. But, you know, on us on the outside looking in, it's never knowing. It's always the one side, the other side, and the truth. So,
right.
You know, I want to be careful when I speak on that. Because, you know, we just, you know, we're making our commentary. But at the same time, I want to say if Finney was for John Singleton shooting, but, you know, that was a big stink and a fallout behind that. It was a hold up.
I loaded up on my site, Celebrity on the Radio channel. Check it out. For all the fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
A Finney Shakur interview about Tupac. She said Tupac died broke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know that. You know, like you say, he died broke when he was with Death Row. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because,
like, her story is going to be, if she would have had that, put that story out, her side of the story, the things, I think that it would have been more, it would have been the truth of everything. We got a better, clear understanding of who Tupac was and her life, you know, so.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, I mean, towards the end of his life, Pac and his mother had a swell relationship, you know, and it's a known fact that Pac took care of a lot of his family members, you know, you see footage of inside his home, you know, I believe it was on his birthday. He had a lot of his family members around, his mother, his aunt, you know, Gaddafi, a lot of people
them
around.
All them. Yeah.
Yeah, Gaddafi, that's his family.
Yeah, I've seen
know,
that.
And,
I've seen that clip.
Yeah, the Outlaws, you know, EDI, you know, EDI is, you know, the mother of, I believe, one of, well, basically, he's an uncle to one of Pac's, you know, sister's kids, if I'm not mistaken. So they all really family like that. That's the tight knit, you know, the Outlaws, there's close ties. Castro.
That's his cousin, I think, right?
No. I apologize. Napoleon. Napoleon. Who's close by Musa now?
Yeah, I think Castro was the cousin, though.
You know, and Castro is the one that they really don't hear. You don't really hear a lot from him. You know,
right?
When the Outlaws link, you usually see like
because I think he came in when Fatal left. For what I read, I think he came in.
Castro
Fatal.
Was there. I think Castro was there. Castro was there when around that same time. Napoleon, not Napoleon, but Young Noble. Young Noble came.
Maybe Young Noble.
After Fatal Hussein. But the thing is, I believe Fatal Hussein brought Young
Noble.
Yeah,
he did.
To me back.
He brought him in there, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, he had a fallout with, Pac had a fallout with
Fatal.
Fatal. Because, you know,
he crashed his brand new, I forgot what kind of car it was.
Whip and took some jewelry or a watch or something like that. And let me say, rest in peace, Fatal. You know what I'm saying?
Rest in peace, Fatal.
You know,
you see what I'm saying, man? Like, a lot of people that can really tell Pac's story is gone.
They're gone now. Like, Big Frank, rest in peace, Big Frank Alexander. Rest in peace, Big Psych. You know what I'm saying?
Johnny J.
Johnny J. Michael Morse. You know what I'm saying?
Michael Moore.
Who was there? Mike Morse. Who was there? The night that Pac got shot, you know, and going back to that, I want to say this: the stories that you hear about, you know, Reggie Wright, who was the head of the security,
he told everybody not to have
their weapons on them, even though they were, you know, licensed to carry and things of that nature, and you know, somebody saying that when Pac got shot. Something came across the radio saying, yeah, we got him.
Right.
Now, I had a conversation with somebody earlier, you know, saying that, you know, they said they believe Suge had something to do with it. But I can't get past the way of thinking of why would you put yourself in the line of fire?
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
There's so many theories, man. Man, I just you know, Suge in jail now, man. Everything too, man. It's just there's just so many theories. Some people say, you know, hey, you know, he's in the car. Some people say, why they didn't have a bulletproof car? But somebody said they didn't have them out back then. They weren't out back then. I think they were though.
I'm not sure. You really don't hear about the bulletproof cars coming around until like 50 blew up. You know what I'm saying? 50 and G Unit. That's who you really heard about having a bulletproof car.
The president had a bulletproof car, didn't he?
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying like political figures had it. And, you know, they had the money. I'm pretty sure they had more than enough money to, you know, purchase some of those. But, you know, but people also say, you know, why, you know, Pac was known for wearing a bulletproof vest, why he didn't have it on.
But then the FBI been trailing him the whole time. Where were they at when he got shot?
Exactly. You know,
that's the question.
It's never really been addressed, you know, and, you know, hip hop cops, you know, they've been in place for years. You know, this is mid-90s. That's during the heyday of the hip hop police, you know, which I still believe still exists, but
the beef was so crazy. They had to be around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The East Coast and West Coast beef was crazy, bro.
it was real crazy. So, like, you know, you got to think a lot of times, you know, about setups and, you know, and things of the nature. And people always say that Pop made himself an extreme target with the minute that he said that the next presidential election, we will have a party. You understand me? And people always saying that, you know, his last name was Shakur, so he was born a target, you know.
Or he might have been marked from the beginning because of his family.
I mean, that's
Shakur.
That's one thing, too. Shakur. But, I mean, you know, if that be the case, then why are they not leaning on Mopreme? Mopreme is a Shakur as well. Mopreme, his brother, his stepbrother, who is...
He ain't outspoken, though.
Yeah, he you know, Mopreme is the son of Mutual Shakur.
Right, right. Which he, for people that don't know, explain what Mutual Shakur did.
Mutual Shakur was part of the, I don't want to say Black Panther, I want to say Black Liberation Army, okay? He was, he is known for being part of the team that broke Assata Shakur out of prison.
Oh, okay, yep.
And also, he is serving time for a federal bank robbery. I believe it might have been a bank truck, but he's serving time, federal time for that. Believe a life sentence. A lot of people that just surround Tupac and his family, Geronimo Pratt.
Right.
Rest in peace, Geronimo Pratt. People that, you know, you listen to, you know, you listen to Machiavelli the Don, people that Tupac shouted out at the end of White Man's World. You know what I'm saying? Just dedicated to my motherfucking OGs. You know, his name's Geronimo Pratt, Mutual Shakur. He shouted out what is Master Cody called himself now? He shouted him out by the name he goes by now. But he ain't named these people as his are my real OGs, right?
Right.
But all of those people named, I mean, you know, in particular Geronimo Pratt and Mutual Shakur, those were political prisoners. Those were and still are political prisoners. And, it's known that Master Cody and Pac had a strong relationship because it's, you know, take conversations of them talking when he was in, when he was locked up in New York. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's when he was talking about the A-team and stuff.
He was talking about... he was talking about all that, and it's people going on record saying that, you know, Pac had his facts mixed up with all of that. Who was it? Brian Glaze Gibbs came out and said that Pac had his information mixed up. You know,
man, I don't think Pac know what's going on.
He
got shot. I think Biggie said when he got shot, he was delusional. You don't know what he's talking about. Pac was like, yo, I'm the one with the... I know what happened. I know what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because his people came and saw him and told him, hey, this is some shots. You know, like, Stretch, Big Stretch, he said to have
he was there.
He said he went to the prison and said, hey, this is the word that's coming back. People in the prison were saying... You know, Pac said people in the prison were saying, yeah, this was shot. You know, their homeboys saw them, you know. And,
right.
But when you go, but here's the thing, okay? Pac was about, 23 when he got shot the first time? 22, 23? He's still a young guy. People always act like Tupac was a full grown man when this happened, but he was about 23, 22.
Right.
And, you know, the amount of stress that's mounting up on you. All the money that you're making from your music is going right back into your legal fees to keep going to court cases. You're going to do mixtape versus, you have money, cash money on your pocket and stuff like that. Right. And you're facing these cases. You know, you're facing, you know, losing your freedom behind something that you ain't do. And then, you know, you got, you know, beef in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
And beef with, you know, people, the justice system because he shot two cops.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, the stress of just having so much on you in the public eye. And people can say what they want to, but when you put in that position, you don't know if you're going to stand tall or if you're going to fold. You know? And that man was up against a lot within the amount of time, how fast that happened. You get shot, and the next day you got to go to court for your sentence.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you really don't have time to get your bearings. You getting your bearings while you're in prison trying to put everything together. You're in prison and the COs is in there fucking with you. And,
right.
You know, you probably got pressure from, you know, inmates. You know, people fail to realize Pop went to Rikers Island prior to him being shipped to Elmira. You know, people know that Rikers Island, you know, has a reputation of being one of the craziest jails.
Most violent
in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most violent. So, you know, it's no telling. It's no telling what could go down. You know, it's no telling where your mind is at, let me say.
Right. And like you said, you got cats in there threatening you and everything, and the only person to come to your side is Suge Knight, which comes with a price.
Yeah, you know, and people saying, you know, oh, Pop is just, you know, he didn't change, he went to death row, but I mean, at the same time, you know, yeah, but at the same time, you know, you going through all of this stuff, you got everything running through your mind, All of this going on, you know, when somebody, one person's coming to help you, everybody you thinking that will come and help you, they ain't coming to help you. People that
right,
you want to see,
right,
will come see you, ain't coming to see you. You know, it was people that, you know, a lot of people that Pac said did come see him, you know, like Jasmine Guy, MC Light, a lot of people, you know. But like,
Biggie came, but they ain't let him in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people that try to come see him, or a lot of people that did see him. But like the people that he was thinking that would come and have his back behind it, you know, it was kind of like it was shunned to have his back during this time because, you know, he's doing time for a rape case and he's got all these black eyes on him, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's kind of like when you faced with, you know, at certain times, you know what I'm saying, when you in your darkest times, you start seeing who your friends are. So, of course, here comes Suge, you know what I'm saying, who already shouted him out, you know, the notorious 1995 Source Awards came out, you know, he said what he said, but during the time he said, we want to say shout out to Tupac, we ride with him, keep your head up.
Right. He also helped Pac during times of his childhood, but he gave Pac for the Above the Rim soundtrack, $250 for a song.
Got him,
news.
He cut him a check. Well, no, they used it. So they used
Oh, did they use it? Yeah.
Yeah, they used
it.
I mean,
yeah.
he cut the music with them. He cut the song for you know, Pain. He had Pain and Pour Out Some Liquor, right? That was on Above the Rim soundtrack. It went, came out on the Death Row. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna clip on some other songs.
So, but I think maybe it might have been something that came out later. It might have been a song with him and Snoop.
Maybe it was something for somebody else's song.
He did Life So Hard on a nigga when you living like a G. The song him and Snoop got, that came out on Gang Related actually.
Gang Related. Oh yeah, that's what happened. After came out on Gang Related. Yep. That
Gang
one and related.
Yeah.
With the other
I mean.
Game.
Yeah, and you know, I look back and I think about I heard an interview with Natasha.
Natasha Walker.
Yeah. I almost mixed it up because I always mixed it up with Natasha Harless. Rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? But you know, Natasha Harless was the little girl that was shot out on a song. They got killed in the store. you know what I'm saying, over the bottle of juice. But Natasha Walker, she was saying in an interview with I think it was J Mix, shout out to them. They got the they got the Tupac channel on
yeah, listen to it, yeah.
You gotta yeah, they have a lot of interviews too. I'm giving everybody their props. I ain't taking nobody's
that's you know, they got a lot of information from a lot of people that talk, man. It was a lot of people that talked on that channel.
A lot of people
that was running.
But check me out though. But check me out though. In her interview she said that Pac had scrapped the whole album. Because he had recorded it, and then afterwards, I guess he said that you know, he was upset that Snoop and Dogg found him and came on and was, you know, all over the record saying, like, you know, biatch and all this shit, right? And you know, said Pac had scrapped it, which I believe a lot of those songs came out during that time, because Pac had an album that he was going to drop called Troublesome 21. You know what I'm saying? You know, y'all can fact check me, go back. Pac was in.
He said, that might have been the same album he was talking about with, he said, we let Biggie hear it and Biggie bit the whole thing, so he had to scrap it.
Yeah, but, Troublesome 21, I think a lot of those songs came out, when they dropped Are You Still Down? I think, because you can listen to some of those songs, and if you're a Tupac fan, you can kind of fit in what era it came from, like, you know, what vibe it was on, you know what I'm saying, whether it was like Thug Life era, or whether it was Strictly For My Niggas era, or if it was Me Against the World. Like, I think Hellraiser, I remember Hellraiser came out on Are You Still Down, but I remember that song being quoted in a Source magazine interview. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember some of the lyrics being quoted. And this is like 93, 94 when that came out. And, you know what I'm saying? So when Me Against the World comes out, I'm like, where's this song Hellraiser at? And then you fast forward to like 97, and that's when Are You Still Down? That's when Hellraiser, you know, and which was one of the more prominent songs on the album. And you can listen to the production and how he's flowing. You can tell that's a Me Against the World era type of track. But what's crazy, speaking of that album, that was one of Pac's best albums that he was recording at during the time he was recording Above the Rim. And, well, he was filming Above the Rim, and, you know, he's facing all the rape cases and everything. So, like, you imagine a lot of stuff probably be rushed. It's a rumor that Tretch helped write some of that stuff. Songs like If I Die Tonight.
The first,
well, I guess that's track two on Me Against the World, If I Die Tonight. If you listen to the flow, you know what I'm saying, the people love that song, I love that song, but you listen to the song and the lyrics and the way he's flowing, like the beginning of it, it sounds like a Tretch flow, like the way it opens up, the first and second verse. On the way they open up, it's like, you know how Tretch, you know, he had the fast flow, or he would, what did Pac say, like, I'm gonna have to pull the lyrics up because I'm really, you know, White Hennessy is a good thing. I'll just say that. But, hold on, let me look. Let me look at the lyrics real quick, because, I don't want to be misquoted. I don't want to misquote. I got too much love and respect. So let's see. How's it open up? They say pussy and paper and poetry, power and pistol. Plotting and murdering motherfuckers before they get you. Picturing pitiful punks. Niggas coughing, please. Puffing weed as I position myself to block teeth. That almost sounds like something that Tretch would say. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. So sound like Pac though.
I got you, but listen, like flipping all those P words: pussy, power, poetry, power.
Yeah. Tretch.
Murdering motherfuckers for the kitchen. Picturing pitiful punk. Just think about, like, you know how Tretch flow. Like, think about, you know, nice, you know, all that Naughty by Nature stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Because, you know, Tretch wrote a few lyrics, you know. You know, don't forget he said, you know what I'm saying, I'm after Jermaine and ATL for that jump shit. You know, he's talking, you know, saying that he wrote some shit for Crisscross, whatever, right? And then, of course, you know, he helped the youngsters out. You know what I'm saying? Cruise Pop.
Yeah, that was my jump.
Remember
right
that?
There. That was my jump.
Yeah, shout out to the youngsters. Shout out to the youngsters. I was just listening to Mad Props the other day, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the youngsters. Shout out to Q Ball and all them. You know what I'm saying? Q Ball, Tyreek, Taj. You know what I'm saying? Word up. Philly. You know what I'm saying? Unsung Philly heroes, man. The Philly Funk. You know, Philly Funk.
The whole Tupac thing, man, it's just a lot of facts, man, about his death, man. A lot of people, I didn't even know Quincy Jones' daughter was in the car. But she was getting in the car.
It was,
but he told her,
they were,
I mean, she was with him that night. She was with him that night.
The Outlaws, she went to Vegas with him, but the Outlaws were in her car. They were, the Outlaws and Frank were in her car. She didn't go to 662. She wasn't going. She stayed in the suite. You know what I'm saying? If you look at, even look at the movie, it showed when he came back after the fight.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll be back. You know what I'm saying? And it showed where he kind of was thinking, like, dang, should I stay? You know what I mean? But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Frank Alexander said that. You know what I'm saying? It's just
But he even said that they weren't the daughter's car, you know. He said that they were in her car, and
she wasn't there.
Mm-mm.
And Outlaws,
she was
in another car, but Gaddafi did see the car. He saw the car. He said he saw her face and he saw everything. He tried to talk to the cops. Rest in peace, Gaddafi. Yaki Gaddafi, boy.
He's another one.
Yeah.
That, we talk about those people close to him that passed away. You know what I mean? You know, just like, and he was gonna identify. You know, he's gonna identify who did it. You know. And it was just coincidental that, even though they say that his killing was related to something else, but it's just coincidental that days before he's supposed to make a, you know, statement, you know,
Napoleon's cousin
got it. Napoleon's
cousin popped him in the head, bro.
Yeah, behind a misunderstanding, you know. It's just really, really crazy. Really crazy how all of this reads. You know, this.
It's just the people that really knew Tupac, man, are really gone. You know what I'm saying? They really can give you. Jada Pinkett knew him since the young days.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
As far as everybody, you know, and the whole thing too, man, with the after the Mike Tyson fight, man, like, what made Pac go swing on Orlando Anderson instead of homeboy that got robbed for the chain?
Right, exactly.
Pac too big,
Trayvon.
Powerful. Pac was not supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see it. I don't know.
And then it goes to, you know, people blaming it on the gang theory, saying that Pac wanted to prove his loyalty or whatever. Then it's people that's trying to say, you know, it's still going rumor, was Pac a blood? Was he, you know, was he part of that you know, that mob thing? You know, you always hear him saying it on records.
He couldn't be because he was trying to unite Bloods and Crips, though. So he just couldn't be one.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It was it's people that came out and said, you know, named him. It's somebody that came out and named him as a shot caller. You know.
Oh yeah, he was
a
shot caller. Oh yeah.
No, when you listen to what I'm saying. When you say shot caller, you know, when you link that to
gangs and whatnot, that means somebody that does exactly that. They call the shots. They are in a position of power to say, hey, this needs to happen, make it happen, and the little homies going to make it happen. But they were stating in that fact. Now, then you have people like, say, Mob James that stated he kind of didn't agree with Pop being part of that because he felt that he didn't come in the way everybody else came in. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't get jumped in, or he didn't put in work with us, you know, the stuff that people that are in their life respect and you know, will connect you to being part of the set. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, that goes on record too. But I'm not here to say whether he was or not. I'm just going off of what's been said by people who were there. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. I'm just looking at it as common sense or logic. I don't know logic, but it's like, yo, because he helped a lot of rappers get their chains back when he was rolling with mm-hmm. Crips. He saved RZA. He saved a shot call on that too. Like,
well,
One Nation.
That RZA thing came off the strength of him being with Sugar and too, though. You know what I'm saying? But he said, you know, he was with Sugar, and so that wasn't a Crip thing then.
When that happened?
It happened at 662. It happened in Vegas. So,
okay.
It happened at 662. But I mean, as far as like not working with Crips, I mean, yeah, that's been documented too. You know, back in the thug like days, I mean, hell, it was saying that the day he whooped on the Hughes brother, he was with some Crips.
Spice
he was like, Spice was there, but he was with some Crips too. Supposedly, they said it.
Oh yeah, some Rolling.
The Rolling 60s, I believe. You know what I'm saying? If I'm wrong, pardon me. Don't go hard on me and Flawless, but we just
that's on the internet. Tyron Turner, who played Kane, said it, or something like that.
Yeah. So. That's part of it. But yeah, I mean, but. You know, I mean, it's interviews with Pop saying, you know, I've been out in L.A. Like, as far as the color said, they used to be scared, but as far as L.A., I mean, I've been out here so long, they can smoke me.
Yeah,
you know,
it's in the essays, everybody's cool to all of them, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he was plugged in. I mean, like, and there's people that always said that, you know, Pop, you know, being with Sugar and them and being with them Bloods, you know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, he used to be around Crips and everything, you know, but I'm not trying to solidify as a gangbanger.
Nah, don't get it confused. He's a leader, man. He was trying
he's
to unite
leader,
One
man.
Nation.
All we're doing is speaking on what's been put out there and discussing that.
I just think it was all part of his. It's all part of his plan. He had to go through that to get to where he was trying to do that One Nation. You know what I'm saying? To unite everybody.
Exactly, and you know, before he passed away, I mean, him passing things up with Nas,
right.
Him wanting to, you know, come out and unite East Coast and West Coast and do the One Nation thing. I think he's seen the fault in what had happened, you know, with him and Big. And, I mean, it's even, you know, he did the Angie Martinez interview and said, he said, you know what, he said, I, you know, saying basically, just watch the beef, he said, if y'all put money into me and Big going to perform in every rec center, in every major city, in every hood, he said, I will come out, Biggie can perform, I'll perform, I'll come out, I'll hug Biggie, I'll kiss him on the cheek. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to put that behind him and move forward. Because, honestly, he was moving past the rap game. You know, there was so much more he had in store. You know, and getting off Death Row was one thing he wanted to do, and he wanted the Outlaws to be under his imprint, or even being an imprint on Death Row. I'm not sure how it worked, but again, we spoke with Wendy Day, when we had the interview with her, and she gave insight on, you know, what her talks with Tupac were about, you know what I'm saying? Because he was talking to her about, you know, trying to move on and do his thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, she found out that he still owed, you know, some, you know, owed some more stuff on his contract before he could, you know, get past. He had a three album deal, and they were counting All Eyes on Me as one album.
Right.
Even
right.
though it was a double album. So, they were saying he still owed the album to Death Row. But even the people that were around him, his publicists and all these people, all the unspoken things that never really hit the light, because, you know, it showed that this guy was a genuine guy, wanted to do good things and not wanted to go public. You know what I'm saying? Like the charities, how when he was somewhere, there was a little girl that got mauled by a dog. And Pop heard about it on the radio, and he made them turn. He was on his way to the airport, and he made them turn the car around, and he went to go see about this little girl in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? They don't tell stories about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? That stuff didn't make the news then, because, you know, they just painted this bad boy image of this guy, but he really had good intentions. So, you know, just in the light of knowing his passing, man, we're not here slandering his name. We're speaking on stuff that's been said.
That's Tupac, man.
You know, we're speaking on stuff that's been said. And just, you know, we just, you know, honoring his memory. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, here it is almost 25 years later, man. It's just how much effect and how much, you know, how much still, how much influence that he has on the culture, on young people, older people, you know. And this man was only 25 years old when he passed, man. Just imagine if Pac was still alive and he was 47 years old, almost 50 years old. What would Pac be doing right now? You know what I'm saying? Would he have moved on to the political things? Would he still be acting? You know what I mean? Would he still be doing music? You know, it's a lot of what ifs I think about.
You know, it's just you put them in the categories of the Martins and the Malcolm X's, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like they was going, man, he's so powerful, man. He had the youth. That's the scary thing to the government. You know what I'm saying? He had him.
Yeah.
He had the youth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They didn't care about the East Coast, West Coast. Yeah, y'all go ahead, keep that. And he said it. Yo. You got cable networks and y'all broadcasting it to 60 million homes. Y'all the ones starting this East and West Coast beat. You know what I'm saying? I just got a problem with Big. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. That's it. And he said, y'all making a problem. It was nothing. Never was a problem. You know, I just feel that, you know, and a lot of that, the sad thing is, man, I really feel, you know, it's people that say that too. That if him and Big would have had a chance to talk, it could have been squashed, you know? I want to think that's true. I want to think that's true. I just feel that it might have been. Too many batteries, too many facts, you know?
Yeah. That right there, he was definitely. They was friends, man. They was friends.
Yeah.
You know, Pac looked out for him.
We did.
Biggie warned them, and they looked out for each other. But you know, you hear other people tell a story like Sean Penn. He's rolling with Pac, like roll with gangsters. You with the gangsters. Pac just felt like he can go with anybody though. Pac was like, he just never felt that he'll never get killed or hurt by a black person. That's what he said in one interview.
Yeah,
he never thought a black person would hurt him.
On record saying that. He's on record saying that. He's like, you know. Even when he got shot, he said that, you know, it's surprising that when he saw them guys in the camouflage just sitting there and they didn't have no real reaction to him. He's like, I was surprised that nowhere I go, somebody that's black, young black, you know, I don't get some kind of reaction. So, you know, it kind of shocked me, you know, and, you know, he figured that, you know, these guys were big, and then because, you know, they had the camouflage on, you know, that's Brooklyn. But you know, obviously it was Brooklyn. You know,
I mean, at the end of the day, you got all the celebrities in the studio, and how these stick up kids get in here? You put that your security down there. What, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
I came crazy, man. Like I'm supposed to come to a safe environment, man.
Yeah. So like even in the letter that he wrote to, I believe it was the Monster Cody, where he had all the names crossed out. You know, he really named mostly the people that were there in the studio that day, like Little Sean. He had a Haitian Jack name on it. He had that extra crossed out. Jimmy Hitchman, Puffy, Biggie. I believe Andre Harrell name was on there. You know, he had
Jay Mafia was there. They was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, that's you could see in that letter. I mean, like being locked up, man. Like, and that's another thing, being locked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have time to think, but then you still, you know, you're still in a state. Like, you know, I ain't never did no prison time. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that I never have to. But I can only imagine just from hearing, you know, other people's accounts and, you know, the type of mind frame and the type of situations you have to deal with and where your mind can go while you locked up. And then you hearing an 8 million story. You know, you're trying to figure out what makes sense. And then you may have somebody, you know, saying, don't trust this one, don't trust that one. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, your mind is going to be, you know, spinning. You know, and the first thing you do, you come out. You know, first thing you want to do, you want to hit the studio. You got all this been up, you know, all this negative energy. And you just, first thing you want to do is you want to get that off. I mean, like, Pac is an artist, so. Spit from his heart, whatever was on his mind, you know, you let it go. So, like, there you go, you know. But, you know.
Yeah, man, that's, you know, we celebrate, man. That's the.
Yeah, we celebrate, you know what I'm saying? Celebrating the life of Tupac Shakur, you know.
This day, man, you know, great, legend, legendary status. Hey, everybody, check out his iTunes. All like you said, he got the youth. He still got the youth. They still want to know who Tupac is. You know, we got kids, our sons and daughters.
Yeah.
You know, they heard Tupac. Their mama still plays every time.
Dear mama,
Mother's Day.
I mean, yeah, you know, dear mama. Shoot, they play on a regular day, on a Monday. You know, what I'm saying
right.
Mid afternoon on an adult contemporary station. You know, what I'm saying that song's gonna play. You know, not necessarily just on the hip hop stations, you know, and, you know, man, you know, this man's music, his words and his life, that'll be spoken on for years. You know, he's a legend. Icon,
he's like what Elvis is to them.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We still think he alive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the crazy thing is whether Pac is chilling in Cuba, whether Pac is chilling in Africa, you know, in Mexico, all these places people say they claim they have seen him, whether he's chilling or whether he's, you know, went back to the essence, man, Pac is still alive, you know, just through his works and, you know, his words, you know, it's just important that people take note of that, man. Like, you know, your music, your words, your works, they gonna live on after you leave this physical life, man. And it's truly an example of that. It's truly an example of that. You know, I just want to salute. I want to salute Pac, man. You know something? I want to say this too. I want to go on record saying this, man. When Pac went to prison. Right. I had to be about maybe 18, 17 years old. And you know, Pac had I was a Tupac fan. You know, I had bought Tupac's first, you know, tape. Because he was a member of Digital Underground. I was a Digital Underground fan.
Yeah, I was
not because
of Underground.
I bought it before Juice came out.
When I come around. When I heard that on the radio, his verse was crazy.
Right,
you know,
but here's my thing. here's my thing, man. I was compelled. I remember they put Tupac's address in jail in the Vibe. I believe it was in the Vibe magazine. And I was compelled to write a letter, but I never did. I wanted to, because I wanted to tell him. I wanted to tell him, like, I want to say, Pac, I had a dream about you that you went to, that you were in court and they sentenced you to death. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had some words to tell Pac, and I just, you know, I rewind back and I just wish I would have wrote the letter. I'm not saying that my letter would have changed Pac's mind or whatever, but I wish I would have. Because when I heard about him reading on the letters, I'm like, dang, I should have wrote that. You know what I mean? But real talk, I had a dream, man. And I'm sitting in court, man, and the judge said, we sentenced you to death. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it was crazy. It was crazy. You know what I mean? So, but I just wanted to get it off. You know what I'm saying? It's something I never really shared, but I want to share it. You know, speaking about him on his death anniversary. Which is tomorrow, actually, but this will be out by that time. I just wanted to share that with the world. Anybody care to listen? And, you know, if you don't care about it, then cool. You ain't got to. But, you know, I'm showing my respect. He is a legend. Rest in peace. You know what I mean?
Countless hits, man. Countless.
Mm-hmm.
See, the biggest hit, but the biggest acts during that time, Jodeci, Snoop Dogg, you know, you had to be there with you, man. You had to be there, man, just to, you know, us
man.
Being young when that was popping. It's just,
like,
you know, it's hard to explain to people that don't know. You know what I'm saying?
That's the Death Row, Bad Boy era, in its heyday, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you had, you know, you had Outkast on the come up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Outkast.
Wu was doing it real big back then.
Mobb Deep.
You know, Mobb Deep was hard. It was hard body out there. You know, and just you know, just a lot of solidified, you know, legendary.
A lot of West Coast cats was doing their thing. Razzcast. Was Razzcast? He was out there doing his thing during that time.
Razzcast, you know, Exhibit had just came out.
Alcoholics,
DJ Quick,
rest in peace, MC Bree. Pac
and Bree, that's a classic. I gotta get mine. Rest in peace, Bree.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, and just a lot of people out there that had love for him, man. Got to shout out E-40, too. E-40, like, man, this is one of, you know, Pac's closest homies.
Yeah, they did some.
Collabed a lot.
Together. Yeah.
They did a lot. They did a lot together, man. I was just listening to Dustin and Disgusted the other day. Dustin and Disgusted, you know, We Ain't Hard to Find, you know, Richie Rich. You know, one of
Richie Rich,
one of Pac's closest homeboys, you know. Spice One.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spice One and Pac did some work together.
Yeah, Spice One, yeah. That was
Spice One still a big advocate for Tupac.
Naughty
man.
By Nature on back on the East Coast. Naughty by Nature.
Naughty by Nature.
Doing their thing,
yeah. And Naughty by Nature, I mean, Tretch and Pac lived together, you know. They went to the Juice audition together, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, of course, man, his underground shot.
Both of them was just nobody when they started.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Stretch, Live Squad, shout out to Majesty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
still
have
a whole knock up in a high regard. You know,
shout out to the Live Squad.
Shout out Live Squad, rest in peace, Big Stretch. Rest in peace, Big Stretch, you know what I mean? They was doing some of Pac's, his earliest beats, man.
And the cast he really messed with, but a lot of people don't know, is Boot Camp.
Boot Camp Flip. Yep.
Buckshot is man.
Shout out to Buckshot, Tech and Steel. You know what I'm saying? Smith and Wesson.
Some real brothers,
man. I met them brothers in real life, man. Some solid brothers, man. But yeah, you know, it was and off the strength. It was because Tech had shouted Pac out on their first album. He shouted him out in the liner notes saying, keep your head up. And Pac was like, I'm reaching out to them. You know what I'm saying? it was some of the only cats on the East Coast that was showing them love at that time. So
that nigga Pac was a beast, man. That Keep Your Head Up was crazy. Yeah. They still playing that.
Oh yeah. I always say Pac is one of the only artists that has touched like every emotion of the human psyche. You know,
he the best. At the end of the day, we love Nas, Biggie, Jay, but Pac was the best.
You can go through Pac's catalog and find a song to fit how you're feeling that day. You know what I'm saying? If you're a grown man that's living in a happy home with your spouse, you know what I'm saying? With your girl, with your significant other, it's a song for that happy home. You know what I'm saying? One of my favorite Tupac songs. You know what I mean? I never call you bitch again. You know what I'm saying? And people used to say, yeah, misogynistic lyrics, he was calling women bitches and everything, but probably just as much as he had songs calling, you know, why they call you bitch and all this stuff. He had songs showing love to real women, you know, and just,
I mean, Pac was in the streets. That's what he was dealing with nice women, dealing with bad women, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He wrote from his experience. He's dealing with people.
Exactly.
He's dealing with people in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. It's wild.
Just being
really
relatable.
Really out there, man.
One of the most relatable artists ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, he got a catalog, full catalog, hundreds of songs. You're going to find something that you connect to. If you only listen to Dear Mama and you don't feel some kind of way, everybody got a mama, dog. You know what I mean? Everybody got a mama. You don't feel some kind of way, you don't want to pick up the phone and say, I love you, mama. After hearing that song, use a cold, cold, cold song, man. That's all I can say. For real.
That's crazy, man. We want to say rest in peace to Pac, man. Legend, man. The best.
Rest in peace, Pac.
Best to ever do it, man. The best to ever do it.
The best. Hey, the GOAT. The GOAT in my book. Word up. Word up.
Yeah, man. But that's what it is, man.
Word, that's what it is, man. We're gonna wrap this up, man. You know, so you tuned in to the Convo, which is a combination between Celebrity Underrated Podcast, Smear Campaign Podcast, I am 245. You know what I'm saying?
Boy, Bobby Flawless.
Bobby Flawless. You know, we'll keep
hitting
y'all with more. You know what I'm saying? This is the Tupac Death on the Anniversary of the Edition, but we got more in store.
We got a lot more Tupac story we gotta get into, man.
Already, man. You know what I mean? Hit the subscribe. You know what I'm saying? Please hit that like. Drop your comments. You know, this is gonna be on to YouTube, all the avenues that we got. You know what I mean? Share this. Share it. Please. RoundUpRadio.com, the foundation. You know, we there. We here. They're there as well. Be looking out for it. If you here, you the founder.
Yes, sir.
Celebrity Underrated, man.
Celebrity Underrated. Check me out, Bobby Flawless. Come check out a lot of the scandals and mysteries and scandals of some of your favorite celebrity deaths. I put it out there. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I let y'all speculate. Okay. Say, you know what? They ain't die like that. Somebody killed them. Hey, I just put it out there. The information that's out. And you know, you can dying for music. Some of your favorite artists. You know, I got the Biggie and Tupac one on there. On the channel. You want to check that out? But I got the top 10 people who used to be around Pac that are now dead. Who we was talking about a little bit earlier. It's a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, that was around. But, you know, yeah, check Celebrity Underrated out, you know. Hit me, celebrityunderrated at gmail.com if you got some suggestions and comments too, you know what I'm saying. So I love all the fans, 25,000 on there. Hit the plateau, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, shout out to all the fans that show love, you know. The merch is on there, I got more merch coming. Ground up lifestyle coming, ground up TV. Oh man, it's just so much. We're putting it all together right now.
We got
the radio show still doing good, you know. So
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ground up radio. We're still going home for hip hop R&B, man. You know what I'm saying? We just keeping it solidified, man. You know what I'm saying? Being true to the culture. You know what I mean? All my artists, man, still taking submissions. Go over to droptrack.com, Ground Up Radio. Or just matter of fact, I'll make it simple. Go to groundupradio.com, hit the submissions link. Go through that, through the drop track, and send your music submission. Please, 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 don't just send the music, man. Let me know who you are, what you do. Send me some links, bio. You know, we want to know who you are, because you never know. If you're jamming like that, we might want to reach out to where it'll be with you, man. Get you on Smear Campaign Podcast, man, and, you know, blast you off to the world. You know, so, you know, be on your A-game, you know, and, send over some dope music, man. Let's work.
Yeah, talk. That's what it is, man. Ground Up TV, Ground Up Radio. You know, Smear Campaign, yeah. Bobby Flawless, Celebrity Underrated, The Convo. I'm gonna holler back at y'all.
All right. We'll see y'all next week, man.
This is a Ground Up Radio exclusive.
We can't save you from embarrassing yourself at the office Christmas party, but we can save you money on the latest phones. At Tesco Mobile, save a whopping £108 on the Samsung A7 from just £19.49 a month. But hurry, this offer ends on the 26th of December. However you do Christmas, everyone's welcome at Tesco Mobile.
Saving based on £3 a month over 36-month credit agreement with Tesco Mobile Limited, 24-month usage agreement, subject to status, phase, policy applies, see tescomobile.com/terms.